You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Every year, the Norton Cybercrime Report comes out. It's just come out a number of days ago. It's one of the world's largest studies of cybercrime. And to talk about that and kick around some of the incredible numbers mentioned in the report, we have on the line Lynn Hargrove, Director of Consumer Solutions at Symantec Canada. Lynn, thanks very much for being here on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Now, listen, some of these numbers, to mere mortals, they sound startlingly large. How do they impact you when you read about these billions and billions of dollars lost?
Well, they are certainly large, and they're growing. So they impact everyone. It is a global study, 24 countries, but we have some real specific Canadian stats as well to share.
Yeah, one of them being cybercrime costs Canadians $1.4 billion per year.
Absolutely, and
wow.
That translates to $169 a person.
For every man, woman, and child in the country, I guess, eh?
Anybody that's online, absolutely.
All right, well, now how does that number equate with what it was a few years ago? What kind of an increase are you tracking here?
Great question. In 2010, it was 64%. So in 2 years, it's grown. But when you think about 70% number, today, that's massive. And really, it's interesting because millennials are most hard hit, but 65% of that number is also Zoomers. So
yeah, there are a lot of Zoomers online, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's across every demographic, and certainly if you're connected, you need to be concerned about the numbers.
And so if you are connected, let's be practical. I mean, the numbers are startling enough. You have the world figure. Cybercrime removes from the world economy $110 billion. That's staggering enough as well. What are some of the ways safeguard against this? I mean, we as Zoomers and as mere mortals, we learn a little bit here. We learn a little bit there. We talk to various and sundry fraud experts and try to stay as safe as we can. What are some of the things from your point of view that we should be doing?
Well, there's a couple really easy things that everyone can do today. One is passwords. Now, I know, you know, I harp on this and people will say, you know, the most commonly used password is 123456.
I thought password was up there, too.
It's right up there. It's right up there. So passwords need to comprise of upper and lowercase letters, numbers, symbols, and you need to change them regularly. Also, if you are on financial sites or sites with personal information, best practice is to have a separate password for each one of those sites. If you think about you know, your online life, and you had one password, and a cyber criminal got a hold of that password or got into your email. Email is really the keys to your digital kingdom. There's lots of folks out there that might have a file in their email that's passwords, and it's listed all there. So, you need to change them. There's some free software out there. Norton makes one that'll encrypt your passwords and save them all. So as you're going on, you know, it'll populate your passwords for you.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So that's number one tip.
Second one, you
really need to look at your credit card and bank statements. I personally have one credit card that I use for my online purchases that has a low balance.
Mm-hmm.
So in case it gets compromised, you're fine.
Yeah, it can't get out of hand, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you want to secure your devices and make sure that your security suite has not only an antivirus, but online protection, a firewall, a spam blocker. And let's just move into mobile devices for a second.
All right, let's do that.
So we have tablets. We have smartphones. Cybercriminals are smart. They're definitely moving malware to those new platforms.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, we don't think of our mobile devices needing protection, but the reality is if you're on your smartphone and you think about what you're doing, you might be banking, you might be purchasing, and you're always looking for that free Wi-Fi connection at the local coffee shop, then those devices need as much protection as your PC.
As anything, yeah. I haven't gotten to the point in my life, I bank online from a laptop, but not, I can't bring myself to bank from my BlackBerry. It just seems to me to be a higher risk venture. Is that just me being paranoid?
You know what? It's no more high risk than it is from your laptop.
Okay.
For example, if you were at a coffee shop.
True enough. I hear you there.
You know, it's about the connection, and free Wi-Fi is very convenient, and we all love it.
Well, don't bank at the coffee shop.
Exactly.
Then, right? Yeah.
You know, think about when you're home, you understand the security you have around your wireless or, you know, your wired connection.
Well, dare I say, plug it in to an internet cable, right?
No, absolutely.
That would be better, wouldn't it?
It would be, but you definitely need at home, you know, those things that I listed. Make sure that you have, you know, a firewall and an antivirus and identity protection. Because the other thing the bad guys are doing, the cyber criminals, is they're using social networking sites now.
Yeah.
Right. So, again, you want to be careful when you're on social networking about those too good to be true offers or, you know, somebody, you know, friending somebody that you don't know that has an infrastructure of those offers. So, again, it's just another opportunity for cyber criminals. They go where everyone is, right? So social networking is one of those spots.
And when you go to social networking, it's more as opposed to, say, banking online or doing more serious things. When you're involved in social networking, it's kind of like a don't worry, be happy kind of milieu. And maybe your guard is down a lot more as a user of the social network than it would be in other cases.
Absolutely. You know, you have this sort of, this is my social network of friends kind of feeling. And that's very common. And, you know, it's just those plugins and those offers that are obviously too good to be true are usually too good to be true.
And what about the email that you get in where you, you know, if you click on the link, it looks like it's from your bank. It looks like it's from some company that maybe quite by coincidence you do business with, and they're asking you to click on a link. That's a real red flag, isn't it?
So easy to get scammed by those. Those are what we call phishing attacks. And to your point, they take all the logos and they look like a legitimate site. Again, best practice in that case is always type in the URL in your browser yourself. Never click on that link because what they do, fraudsters will use a very cheap piece of software that'll shorten the URL.
Right.
So you'll only see that, you know, you think you're going to that legitimate bank site or that online shopping site, and you won't see those trailing characters at the end that'll give you that aha moment that it's a fraudulent site.
So if you type it in yourself into your browser, should you even want to go to the link, at least that's the safe way to do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, an interesting thing that the survey brought up, really, folks are getting the fact that they need security and they have to be careful online. But what was interesting is a lot of people didn't realize that the new type of malware or cybercrime out there, you know, it's not going to blue screen your PC. There's not going to be those aha, I have something wrong with my computing environment like there was before.
Right.
These cyber criminals, they want to live on your system as long as they can because they have pieces of software that'll send back your keystrokes or they can use your home environment, you know, to send out spam or whatever they want to do. So they want to live on in your environment. So they're not going to blue screen your PC. They're not going to, you know,
like in the old days, that's what would happen. A skull and crossbones would come up and the computer would crash back in the 686 days, right?
Exactly. And you know, the survey brought up that most people think that, you know, 42% thought that if they had an issue, those type of things would happen.
Yeah.
So people really need to be aware that it's much different now and they want to insert software into your PC that is just going to sit and wait and in the background and send information back.
Well, assuming you have some of that in there, I mean, regardless of security program that you have. Most of them allow you to go in and scan your files. Is that good enough? I mean, is that going to catch some of the stuff?
Obviously you should have security software. If you think perhaps that you have been infected or, if there's listeners out there are like, geez, I don't know.
You just don't know, yeah.
You can, there's free security scans. We have one on our site. We'll scan your computing environment and let you know what's happening there.
Yeah, yeah. Just got to make sure you're picking the right company to...
Well, definitely a reputable company. And that is a great point.
Yeah.
Because one of the scams that's very high on our radar over the last year is these free antivirus scams out there.
Yes, talk about that. Yes.
You're computing along, and all of a sudden there's a pop-up window that says, you have a problem with your PC, you have malware mm-hmm. in your environment, but good news, we're going to help you, and it's a very low cost, and you think you're going to a reputable company in many regards, and not only now, what happens is you give this fraudulent company your credit card information, but then you click download. So two bad things happen right now. Your credit card information is compromised, and you've invited in malware into your PC.
Is identity theft still the main motive of the bad guys?
There's identity theft, certainly personal information across all things. So credit card information, your personal information, identities are being bought and sold online every day in a criminal network, and they're just sold in bulk. So a Canadian identity, if you had a lot of the pieces like name, address, mother's maiden name, for example, can
right.
be sold for as much as $100.
Whoa.
But even pieces of just your name, your address, and one more piece of information, that's worth something to cyber criminals.
How about name and age, date of birth? That'd be pretty important, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
That'd be a bad one.
The identities are worth something. Credit card numbers are the same. Your credit card number, obviously if the security code is attached, that's worth more. But when you think about how much information is out there and how your transaction, just social networking, there's lots of personal information on social networks people need to think about, and does it need to be out there? And how open is your profile?
Well, that's right. Are you staying ahead of the bad guys? How goes the war?
The war's ongoing, and are we staying ahead? Well, we put out new definitions and fixes every day, every hour. The bad guys will continue to tweak what they have, send out new things, look for new ways. Again, the mobile is really where they're going towards now.
That's where the stress is, right?
The stress is definitely there. It's not a war that you're ever going to win. You just really need to understand that it's a different war today than it was 5 years ago.
Well, then you should be super suspicious about messages that you get on your handheld device that don't seem to be directed to you. Don't be too curious about some of these things. Just get rid of it.
Absolutely. And when we think about security on that device, the products that are being made today not only secure it for malware, but also, if you left your device at a coffee shop,
yeah.
And you realized it when you were, home, you could send a text message to your device and it would remotely lock it.
Yeah.
Or it would remotely lock it.
A lot of providers provide that kind of service, don't they?
Some of them do.
Yeah. Well, maybe not a lot, but I know of some that do. Yeah.
If you think about how much information is on that device.
Yeah.
It's
probably
scary.
Your whole life when you think about it. If you're a heavy BlackBerry or iPhone user like we are here, a lot of stuff. Yeah,
lots of information. So it needs to be treated like any other computing platform. It's just really part of that ecosystem that you have. It's got your email contacts on it.
Yeah.
It's got some personal information, some pictures, all that stuff. So you want to make sure. Our recent survey showed that over 40% of people don't have a password on their smartphone.
Well, that was my next question. It's kind of important to have a password on the handheld device as well, right?
Right.
Nip
that
it in
like
the bud.
Number one best practice.
Yeah.
Everybody listening should go out and make sure they have a password on their smartphone.
Yeah. I'd just like a red button that I could press at home and the BlackBerry would self-destruct. That would do it for me. You know, then at least, because I'm more worried, to be quite honest, about what's on the BlackBerry than I am about the BlackBerry itself. It's just a piece of equipment. I can buy a new one.
Absolutely. The information is the valuable piece, and it needs to be protected.
Lynn, thank you very much for your valuable advice. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye.
Lynn Hargrove, Director of Consumer Solutions at Symantec Canada, offering us some survival tips for being on the interweb.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.